Okay, I'm here with Bill Brigidis, who is CEO of Troy Acoustics Corporation. We're here at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, 2019. So, Bill, thank you for coming. I appreciate it. I know you're a busy man, so we'll kind of get right into it. If you would mind, just kind of tell us how you got started in the sound mitigation business.
Well, I was in the construction industry in Southern California, and there was a need to quiet down a room for a studio and a house, and they asked me to do that, and I said, sure. I mean, the bold guy that I am will take on anything. So I started fiddling around with materials, research, and at that time, the only way of research was going to the suites catalogs, manually go through page by page, book by book, and figure out what materials are out there that you can put together, and that's a tough thing to do. And developing the design to incorporate wood fiber board mixed with cement and a mineral wool product, the combination of, I believe at that time, was a very good, unique design that would absorb energy and also isolate it. So presented to the owners and said, okay, well, yeah, this will work, and left it at that. I said, well, okay. And they never built a studio, but, you know, I did all this research. I said, I got this design. All right, let me figure it out.
What year is this? Are we talking?
That was way back in, I think, 1995.
Okay.
And I got, did a project for a guy after the earthquake in 1996. And we got done early and we're ahead of schedule. And I said, hey, we're done. Keep the rest of the money. We're out of here. We got to get back to our other jobs.
Our paying job.
Yeah. He says, wait a minute. Are you a contractor? I said, well, why is that? He goes, you're not charging me extra or anything. You're telling me to keep the last payment. You're done early. You're ahead of schedule. I said, well, yeah, we're done early. Well, I don't want to take, you know, anything that we didn't really earn, but sure. And he goes, wait a minute. I got more work for you. I said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm a theater developer. I said, movie theater developer. He says, yeah. I said, I have a sound wall design for you. He says, does it work? I said, yeah. He says, well, have you had it tested? I said, no. How do you know it works? I said, I'll get it tested. So being the kind of guy I am, we went to the best laboratory in the nation, which is over at Riverbank Acoustical Laboratories in Geneva, Illinois. And so we humped all the materials over to Chicago area, got out there. We built the specimen at the laboratory and we tested it. And the technician, you know, he was observing me for the 3 or 4 days we were there. And he pulled me aside. He goes, hey, you're not an acoustical expert, are you? I said, well, how can you tell? He said, I can tell. He says, we have to be impartial here because we're a very reputable laboratory. He says, but if I were you, I'd get your design patented. I go, is that good? He goes, yes. Okay. So we had then got a patent. We actually started getting in that business. And since then, we've been going back to Riverbank, even up until this year, 2018. We've had additional designs tested for animal shelters. And so every time we come up with a new design, we take it and get it certified so that we can present what works as the recognized experts in the shooting range industry. We want to make sure that we have all our backup, whether it's from acoustical laboratories or underwater laboratory for fire or for splatter and ricochet protection from the military. We want to make sure that all of our certifications are always up to date and always with the newest and latest of our designs.
Okay. You talked about shooting ranges. As far as sound requirements, what have you seen change over the years since the 90s versus now?
A tremendous change, a tremendous change. I mean, we did our first shooting range in 1998 at LAPD. And they had just finished a brand new range built in Granada Hills. Matter of fact, Action Target did the bullet traps and the overhead baffles and the dust collection system. Great range. LAP is so proud of it. They opened it up, grand opening. The governor was there at that time. I think Governor Davis at that time was there. The mayor, everybody is all happy. Well, 2 weeks later, as they were training, they got 911 calls from the neighbors at the Knollwood Country Club that there was a riot.
Gunfire.
So the police responded, stepped out of their cars, heard gunfire, and drew their weapons.
Uh-oh.
And they could not see the shooters, but they heard gunfire. So one officer says, wait a minute. And he walked in the backyard of one of the homes and up a little knoll. And he got on his radio and says, hey, Sarge, are you guys training right now? He says, yeah, we're on the range. He goes, oh, shoot. And that gunfire the neighbors heard 1,500 yards away was the LAPD range. And this range was brand new, 3 25-yard ranges side by side by side, but they had no acoustical treatment. The problem was back in the 1990s all the way up until the early 2000s, there was no acoustical criteria for shooting ranges. Hmm. None whatsoever. They had barely got into the lead remediation problem or lead mitigation so that they had the ventilation system properly designed to blow the lead particulates downrange away from the shooters and instructors. But there was no acoustical criteria. So the new kids on the block, us, Troy Acoustics, come on and we said, hey, you need to pay attention to this. This is a bad thing, very unhealthy. And besides that, you're bothering all the neighbors. And LAPD says, well, if you can fix our range, we'll figure it out. So I said, I'll guarantee that I'll fix your range. And matter of fact, you don't have to pay me till I'm done. So the city guy said, oh, take this right now because he won't do it. We won't have to pay him. Well, not only did we get the job done over there at LAPD, all three ranges were fixed. All three ranges came in under the guaranteed levels that I said they would be. And to me, they were like big studios, making a lot of noise. So they had to absorb the energy. But gunfire is not like speech or not like any energy, sound level energy around. It's low and dominant. It's very intense, very short duration, but can be very unhealthy because it's in a ballistically contained environment, which acoustically is horrible because it reflects all the sound levels. So that reflection adds time to the peak levels of the gunfire. So you're adding gunfire upon gunfire, and the time that it takes to decay is an OSHA violation.
So inside of a range then, you said OSHA there, what kind of regulations do we have as far as indoor shooting ranges then?
Well, it's not so much a specifically an indoor range criteria or a violation. As OSHA says, you cannot be exposed to a sound level above 140 decibels without hearing protection. Well, gunfire is obviously louder than that.
Right.
But the other part of the OSHA regulation says that you cannot be in an environment for 8 hours that exceeds 90 decibels A-weighted value for an 8-hour time-weighted
so
average.
So weighted time period then.
Yeah, so for over 8 hours,
okay,
the average sound level cannot exceed 90 decibels or it's an OSHA violation.
And that means what? Are we talking fines? Are we talking they can shut you down or what?
Both.
Okay.
They will shut you down. They have the power to do that, and they have the power to collect a fine from you.
So what does that mean to people who are, let's say, a range master, an FI, who's actually in there with that repeated? Is there anything as far as that the body feels or absorbs?
Oh, that's well, the military have done many studies with the Army guys subject to the artillery, the Navy guys subject to the aircraft carrier jet noise. The military has done many studies on noise exposure and the ill effects of the physiological body, where the blast overpressure to the human tissue, you have the soft tissue absorbing all this energy. And what happens is that the impact on the body tells the brain to release these hormones, elevates the heart, and your body gets all tense and you're not doing anything other than being exposed to gunfire. And so the next thing the body does is says, well, brain, we're not doing anything. So all these hormones that you told us to release and all the elevated heart rates and cortisol levels and the adrenaline, what do? And so the brain says, go to the stomach and get it out of the body. So they do that and all these hormones, everything get in the body, get in the stomach. And now you just don't feel good at the end of the day. You're fatigued at the end of the day. You're nauseous, you know, and over longer exposure times, you start to have a very bad attitude. And you'll notice that range instructors are not the friendliest guys in town. But, you know, as funny as it may seem, it's just very unhealthy to work in an untreated environment. Very bad.
So what if you're a tightwad like me and you want to save money and you get some egg cartons and you put them on your wall and you try to do your own kind of quick fix? So how effective is something like that if you say, hey, I'm a do-it-yourself person, I'll just go and grab stuff and put it on the wall?
It works. I mean, you know, when I say it works, it takes away the reflections for a while, because if I was to put a ham sandwich over a concrete wall, I take away the reflection of the concrete wall. If I was to put that same ham sandwich over steel, I take away the reflection of the steel because I have the ham sandwich in front of that. However, what is going to work in a shooting environment? You have fire concerns because the muzzle releases the muzzle blast energy, as well as the unburnt powders within the cartridge, as well as the lead particulates of the bullet. And all that runs into the range, blown by the ventilation of the range, and it attaches itself to the walls, the floors, and the overhead baffles. So if you have the wrong materials that are flammable, that are not durable, then when you clean the range of all these unhealthy particulates, you're also tearing apart the materials that you had designated for acoustical purposes, and they just don't work. So you have to have materials in a range that are fireproof. You have to have materials in a range that provide you splatter and ricochet protection. You have to have materials in a range that do not support fungi growth. So, and the most important thing, you have to have materials in the range that have been certified for splatter and ricochet control.
Okay. What if you have an existing range and it is noisy and you're trying to be a good... Is there any way to retrofit an existing range, or do you have to do this from the get start?
Yes, there are many ranges that have problems, whether it's the controlling the reverberation within the range or the gunfire sound level emitting from the range that is intrusive to the neighbors. And that gets to be very problematic, because a lot of times the gunfire sound level coming out of a range may be within the legal limits of the city or the county requirements. However, it doesn't mean that the neighbor still cannot complain that this is a nuisance. So you may be in the right regulation, you may be in having the right sound level, but you have to realize that the sound levels that the municipalities or the PDs will look at is an A-weighted value. The A-weighted value doesn't recognize a lot of the low-end energy. Gunfire is predominantly low-end frequency. And so if the A-weighted scale is used like it is throughout the United States for code violations of noise and doesn't recognize that low-end energy, a lot of municipalities say, hey, this range is legally compliant. However, the neighbor adjacent is saying, I can still hear the gunfire and it still bothers me. It then becomes a nuisance issue, which is then a criminal matter.
So it may not be noisy, but just the fact that the pop, 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 they know is gunfire, that gives them a little bit of an issue. So
yes.
I understand. So as far as a wall, you want to treat a wall. What has to be treated in a range? Is it just flat surfaces? Is it any surface? Or what needs to be treated?
It's always going to be predicated upon the type of training you're doing. If you have a range that is a law enforcement range and you're walking down the range and shooting 3 feet, 5 feet, 5 yards, 10 yards away from the firing, the bullet trap, you're gonna have to secure and treat all firing points of the range to make sure that your noise exposure limits and reverberation times are controlled everywhere in the range. If you're gonna shoot from a fixed point position in the range, meaning that you have an overhead retriever of targets, then you need to control that area of the fixed point only. But then you still have the intrusive gunfire to be an issue for the neighbors. So you need to control both the reverberation within the range, noise exposure limits within the range, and the isolation of that gunfire from coming out of the range.
Okay. So what about the, I'm assuming then your floor, your concrete floor is probably a huge issue. You can't really treat the floor, correct?
It's not practical to treat the floor because
it would help, though, but
it,
not practical.
It would help because it's part of the biggest square footage of the range. However, to treat the floor, it's just going to be financially burdensome, because you're always going to walk on it. You're going to have to clean it every day. And so that means you can HEPA-vac over that, and it's got to be a durable surface that's absorptive, and people will put rubber. But rubber is not as reflective as concrete, but rubber still reflects low in energy. So as we leave the floor alone. We say, don't treat the floor. It's not practical to waste your resources on that. Treat on the ceiling and the wall, or the ceiling or the roof deck above the line of the baffles, so that you're covering the same area as the floor, but since it's out of the line of sight of the shooters, it'll last you forever because it's not going to get shot.
Okay. And I know there are different manufacturers that make certain things, but I know sometimes there's a two process. You have an outer and like a backer, correct?
Yeah. We provide a design that incorporates a cement wood fiber board called Troy board and a mineral wool material. That the combination of those two materials are what we refer to as the Troy system. Those combination materials absorb a tremendous amount of low end energy without reflection. We recommend that on the concrete walls and on the overhead baffles and in the areas of a fixed point range where we don't have as much overhead square footage that the baffles will take. We recommend a drop ceiling on the top side of those baffles.
What does the mineral wool do? Is that like insulation, like blown insulation?
It's a mineral.
Why not just double the thickness of one or the other?
Right. It's a mineral product. Is an insulation type of material derived from a basalt rock. And so the rock is melted down and like lava. But yet the fibers are spun out of it like cotton candy. And these fibers combined and compressed make an insulation material. It's a very clean material. It's a non-combustible material. It's a material that does not support fungi growth. So the material combined with our Troy board is a great combination because the Troy board material absorbs low in energy very, very well. And the backed up with the mineral wool absorbs middle and high end frequencies very, very
so
well.
So
the combination absorbs a wide spectrum of gunfire sound level energy.
What about windows? I know a lot of rangers have observation windows. If you spend all this money for windows, you can't really put material, I guess you could over it, but how would you?
Windows are a necessity in ranges because the range control guys got to have visual on the shooters. Especially in a PD environment where they're handling the targets and whatnot. But the windows themselves, the studio type of design is expensive where you have one window at an angle, one window plumb. You could always do that, but it's expensive.
And ballistic too? You can do that ballistic?
You can do that in a ballistic pane. But it is cheaper, better, faster to incorporate the standard window frame and have a laminated piece of glass as a single pane and a ballistic glass as the other pane that will be mounted on either side of the window stop. You're using an existing window frame, which is very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You're using existing glass that is laminated with two different dimensions, say 1/2 inch and 3/4. And then you're gonna make another ballistic pane on the other side of that window stop. So you have two separate panes of glass acoustically that isolates a tremendous amount of energy, and ballistically you're going to have the protection of any misfires from going into that control and killing somebody.
So anything that's a flat wall is a prime indication you have noise problems in. So anytime you can have an angle or you can treat it is best.
Yeah, angle is always best, except that now you're getting into a custom environment and people will charge more money for that. If you can maintain the same isolation value, if not even higher, as well as the same ballistic protection in a standard window frame with putting the panes of glass on either side of the existing window stop is better, faster, cheaper.
Gotcha. And kind of in conclusion, what do you, as we're here at SHOT Show, and you've got, I don't know how many people here, 100,000 people, a lot of people, and shooting is a great sport, and training for law enforcement, federal, military will always be there. What do you kind of see the future becoming as far as requirements or technology? Do you see OSHA maybe getting more stringent on their codes, or do you think material will get a little better and we'll just make it a little safer environment for everybody?
I believe that I'm seeing more OSHA violations of lead and noise than there have been before. The reason being is that you have more manufacturers of firearms now in the United States than you have before. CZ, IWI, and a lot of the other manufacturers from Europe and the Middle East are now coming into the United States to have access to the American market to buy firearms. And so with that, you have a lot more guns being purchased, you have a lot more commercial ranges going up, and you have a lot more gun manufacturers producing these firearms that need to be tested. OSHA is looking at this as budgets are being cut and reduced, and the federal government, they're looking at ways to recover revenue that is required from them and still maintain safety as an issue. So lead and noise are a fundamental property of gunfire, and it is something that OSHA is not, I want to say, zeroing in on, but
they're taking
more notice of it and say, you know what, there's a lot of these manufacturers out there, there's a lot of these employees of shooting ranges, and there's a lot of law enforcement agencies that have shooters and instructors exposed to this high gunfire sound level, and we as OSHA need to protect the public from this danger.
I guess that's their job too. So, Bill, fantastic. Thanks for your time, and look forward to work with you as always.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate
it. All righty.